There's all these different ways you can play the game. I mean, for one reason, there's people who have property that they're a little concerned. You know, if you've been in, you know, you've had a property, been in the 2 years of the last five, now you're in a new one. Now you're thinking maybe of getting rid of that other one and selling it. Well, guess what? No capital gains. How nice. So maybe, and it's like, maybe it would make sense to sell. Well, guess what? Not everyone can afford that house. So how would you like, there's things called like seller financing. So banks, they're great at doing mortgages. So what if you help out that person buy your house, get a conventional mortgage, but maybe you can supplement by doing seller financing that takes care of that down. These are just all options of how you can be in real estate and not be in real estate.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy Brennan.
Excellent. How are you, Ken?
I am doing great.
It's fantastic. Before you get on topic, see, I think sometimes it's my fault. I want to point out yet another way in which you are different from other advisors, because that question came up a couple podcasts ago, like, how are you different from other advisors? And I believe that you take this desire of yours to always find a better way and you apply it to your clients too. So they too get to benefit from that desire, that push on your part, because you're looking at their financial situation and always trying to find a better way to help them.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. That's my excitement is I love, you know, the designs I do on the Bankosaurus, you know, and I can't wait to put out the grand reveal soon of what the Bankosaurus looks like. So I just can't wait for everyone to see him. So, but yeah, that stuff is fun for me. I can't, because I love engineering, right? I really love designing and troubleshooting. And so that's part of 80% of my day too. The 80%, you know, the part I love that I'm trying to get all 80%, is doing that kind of work. It's like, how can we make this better? How can we improve things? And it's pretty nice when you have different reps and different companies saying that they love it when I call because they learn something new. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Right?
That's pretty cool. And so thank you. So thanks for, being constantly improving, detail oriented, all that stuff. So it's fun. So you ready to talk about more real estate, or do you want to say something also awesome about me? So my head gets huge.
Yeah, but then it's going to bump into the boom microphone, and then you're going to have to move it again.
That's true. Well, I can slide the chair back a little bit. But yeah, so today, real estate. We'll do a little bit more continuation. What do you think about that one?
It sounds brilliant. Yeah, tell us. Good. Teach us, engineer and finance.
Well, I think, last week we were talking about, the big thing to take away with the real estate side, how it can be a really powerful way to invest, is I was just mentioning, and by the way, I did get approval after the fact. Friend, client called me back. I think if you remember, I was saying in the podcast, I wanted approval from him to use one of his lines. Anyway, and I said, hey, I used your line, so don't be mad at me or don't listen to the podcast. He says, no, you're okay. He laughed. He thought that was great.
That's good.
But yes, literally having 10 properties, 10 single family residences, you pick a city. If you own 10 of them right now, it didn't even need to be 10 at this time. But over time, over 30 years, maybe acquiring one property a year. And then over 30 years, and most likely a lot sooner, you become a better understanding of how to become a very effective landlord and becoming a better understanding of how money flows. A lot of landlords understand cash flow very, very well. And but you own 10 properties, pick a city, you're going to probably have a pretty good lifestyle compared to the norm. You agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. And I've seen it with a lot of my clients. It can be a powerful part of your portfolio. Now, with all that said, now I'll emphasize, I do not have a crystal ball. I do not know, or I probably said this, and so I don't want to be redundant, but I'll say it one more time. Maybe some new listeners that haven't heard the other podcast. If I told you what I know, that I know what Wall Street's going to do tomorrow.
You've told me, but I think you should say it again.
Now, let me reemphasize it. So I've talked about it, and people, I'll ask them, so what's Wall Street going to do tomorrow? And they're thinking, and some will say, oh, it's going to go up. It's going to go down. And I was like, guys, I'll tell you, I know for sure what the market's going to do tomorrow. And that's what's it going to do. And it's like, it's going to go up, down, or sideways. Right?
Guaranteed.
And all these experts out there, and all their credentials and all their history, they still, none of them, in my opinion, and from what I witnessed, do not know what the market's going to do tomorrow. I don't, other than it's either going to, it's going to pick a direction. It's going to go up, down, or sideways, right? Now, with all that said, I look at real estate and my gut indicator is going off, and I'm seeing what's happened on a national level now. And I'm seeing what's happening here on a local level here in Reno. It's starting to feel unsustainable.
Okay.
Buying a house in Reno, it's just ridiculous what my little house is worth now compared to 4 years ago.
Right.
And I was starting to daydream a little bit, and I love where we live, but just decided, it was about a month ago, I'm driving this one area, it's in the Collin Ranch area in Reno. It's in Southwest, and it's a very beautiful area, in my opinion, of Reno, up against the mountain range. And I'm driving through the community, and there's some new homes being built. And I'm like, well, maybe I could justify someday spending that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to look up on the tax assessor rolls, because we have no privacy in this country anymore. I love how everything's so public. But I would want to get an idea of what we'd have to budget for down the road to really justify that kind of home, a 3,500 square foot home, and maybe a little bit nicer community where my little guy is maybe a little bit safer. I always joke saying we live in the hood, but we don't. It's just always I make that joke. But you see some random, when you live downtown Reno, you see all walks of life, right? And so, you see some interesting things. When you're walking around with your two-year-old or your wife's walking around with your two-year-old, and this gentleman's like beating the crap of a grocery cart that somehow he's mad at it and there's no one around him. You start getting a little, well, maybe we shouldn't walk this area anymore. So I was like, oh, maybe it's worth, maybe down the road, David, it's worth this kind of money for a house, which for the most part is not an investment, your primary home.
Right.
Although it could be part of your asset classes. But pull up the Washoe County assessor, go pull up, see what one of the newer ones sold for. And it was, and I'm not exaggerating, it was about 40% more of what I thought was too high.
Oh, geez.
That I was like, maybe. I was like, so things, and now you're seeing what's happening in the bonds and mortgages are going up. So now I'm hearing the magic 5 number being thrown out there. 5%. Ooh, 5%. You know, that's scaring people where, you know, 2 decades ago, you get a mortgage for 8%. That was a good rate.
Right.
But 5% scaring people. But then you look at what real estate was back then. It was a lot smaller number. And when you see what people's median income level is in this area and nationwide, and you see what houses are selling for, it's like, wow, I wonder how much longer this might be sustainable.
Right.
So I'm talking how great it could be to be as part of an investment strategy off Wall Street of buying real estate for yourself and becoming landlord if you're the right personality for it. I'm still trying to figure out if I have the right personality for it, because it's amazing what tenants can do
right.
to a property. It's amazing how great tenants can be, and it's amazing how some tenants really what they can do to how poorly a house can be treated. But right now, I'm ready to be a landlord, I don't think the market's right for me yet. And I think for a lot of people, now let me emphasize, I don't have a crystal ball. I could be completely wrong on this. The market could be in another tear for the next few years. Who knows?
Right.
But my gut's telling me, man, there might, you know, maybe we've got about 2-year more window.
Mm-hmm.
There's another 2-year window. And so if that said, what is a better strategy right now for me? It's like, well, how about this? Why don't I keep surrounding myself, so I love what I do. I mean, my best teachers are clients of mine. And on the real estate side. So I just learned from them. And but maybe why don't I just get more educated, understand the game better. But it's not a good time to buy right now, my opinion, right? My gut's telling me it's not ready to buy. So that's great. I just talked about how great it is to become a landlord, how it can be great. Mm-hmm. Well, what do we do in the interim? What do we do right now? Well, learn, understand the game better, surround yourself with some great mentors in the real estate game. Again, I do it when it is time to pull the trigger. Well, now you got this nice little mastermind around you. There's all these different ways you can play the game. I mean, for one reason, here's another example. There's people who have property that they're a little concerned, and it's like, wow. You know, if you've been, again, I'm not a CPA, but if you look up the rules and talk to your CPA or tax attorney, you know, if you've been in, you know, you've had a property, you've been in the 2 years of the last five, now you're in a new one, now you're thinking maybe of getting rid of that other one and selling it, well, guess what? No capital gains. How nice.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, and it's like, maybe it would make sense to sell. Well, guess what? Not everyone can afford that house. So how would you like, there's things called like seller financing. So banks, they're great at doing mortgages. So what if you help out that person, buy your house, get a conventional mortgage, but maybe you can supplement by doing seller financing that takes care of that down.
Right.
Make sense?
Yep, it sure does.
And so this way, you don't own the property anymore, but what if you're in a first position lien or most likely a second position lien where you own that note and say you come up with a competitive rate that makes sense for you and them, but how would you like to have an interest-only note of 6% on $50,000?
Mm-hmm.
Throw out a number.
Right. Yep.
So now you're getting income, not owning the real estate, but in a way controlling it, having some type of position or lien on it. And now you're in the real estate game.
Right.
In a market that my gut's thinking might be close to overvalued, maybe not.
Right.
But I know I'm not willing to buy right now. So I'm waiting. So that, does that sound like a fun strategy for some people?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, so and now that you've got other positions out there, there's things like there's hard money lending, you've got bridge loans, where you've got developers out there, you've got people who they still think it makes sense to build, and it could. I mean, it really could be great for the next several years, 5 years, 10 years. I don't know. But how would you like to surround yourself with experts out there that they understand the real estate game very, very well? They want to develop, or they got some sweetheart deal on a vacant property or undeveloped property. They got the plans. They got all the approvals. Most banks, I'll let you take a guess. Do you think banks are going to lend on an undeveloped vacant property to a developer?
I would think so.
You would think so.
But no?
No. No, it scares them. Very rare from what I've seen.
Does it scare them because they're afraid that nothing will ever get built?
Sure. I mean, that's a big component, right? I mean, a lot of these things are backed by Fannie Mae. And so when you got these typical FHA loans, you got conventional loans, there's a structure, there's something real, it's tangible.
Right.
It's a developed property. And so you can move it. Even if it's severely discounted down the road, it can move. Where most people don't want to just go, I mean, if you're moving into a new city, oh yeah, here's the perfect plot of land I want. We're going to rent for the next couple of years and then build on it.
Mm.
We're going to find the architect.
Yeah.
We're going to find the engineers. And so for the most part, and I've had undeveloped property in the past in Reno. And guess why? I owned it outright. No bank was going to lend me money. They would on my other house because they had a structure on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to give you money. And so that was an example. The way I first acquired it when I was 22 is the owner did some seller financing on it. You know, I came down with a substantial down. He did seller financing on it. I don't know what the rate was, say 8, 9, 10%. It was still, I thought, a great deal on the land. And then I had three years to pay it off in full. So it was kind of interest only to him. He moved a property he no longer wanted to hang on to. Now he has this nice cash flow at 8 to 10%, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Pretty good deal.
It was a good deal for you too.
Oh yeah. It was a win-win.
It was a win-win. Yeah.
And I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I think it's a great quote. I believe it's attributed to Bill Gates. So I'll have to look it up for sure and then write it down. I cannot emphasize this enough. But Bill Gates said, banking is necessary. Banks are not.
Interesting.
Banking is necessary. Banks are not. And so that was a perfect way of how, you know, these are just all options of how you can be in real estate and not be in real estate. And so hard money lending and bridge loans, you got these people doing homes where, why is my brain fading, when they will buy a house, flippers. When everyone's doing something, it pays to be contrarian, or it can. I've lived by that forever. I think it's, you know, for me, I love eating lunch early at 11:30, and just because I like lunch, I work for food. But guess what? When most people show up for lunch,
yeah, 12:30.
That's right. I just hate crowds. I just like, not that I enjoy people, but I hate crowds. I hate waiting in lines. So guess what? I'm gonna be a little bit different. I'm gonna get probably a little bit better service, a little bit better meal prepared because I'm not slammed. And I like going 11:15, 11:30.
We should do a whole podcast on that alone, on how contrarian that philosophy applies either in your life, you know, up to this point, or into someone's financial life.
Well, if supposedly 95% of the wealth in this world is controlled by 5%, that's contrarian, right? And you see all these different models out there. So obviously it's the contrarians. And then contrarian does not mean pessimist either. Contrarian means just looking at different ways to play the game, different angles, doing something unique. And so it seems to me that all the contrarians have the best of a lot of things, not just money, right? Yep. And so, I think it pays. So we should do a podcast on that. And holy cow, do I just fold time again? Mm-hmm. I mean, do we have a little bit more time, Tammy? Because I want to continue a little bit.
Yep, you're good. And by the way, you were right. It was Bill Gates. I just looked it up.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you.
I am awesome. You're so right.
Yeah. So isn't that a great quote?
Yes. Very good.
And so there's all, you can totally be in banking, not banks, but banking's necessary, banks or not. You can play that game. Someone has more of a need for that piece of property. Like they want to move it. You want it. And you're willing to do like I have where, sure, I'll pay that note until I have the rest of the funds, you know, at 22 to buy that 40 acres. So it was great. I owned it. It was in my name. But this guy's in a first position lien on that note. And so he's making money in real estate without owning it anymore. And so that game can be played all day long. And I was talking about developers or people who are going to do a spec home. Very hard. Whoever's listening, if you're not in that, just go find out. Anyone who's a developer, engineer, that's been in this space, they know what I'm talking about. You go to a bank to get the money, good luck. But they have tons of hard money lenders out there that are in their wheelhouse and they know who to go to, that are more than happy to lend substantial sums of money. And there's entities out there, right? We'll lend you the money 8, 10, 12% interest-free. I mean, not interest-free, but interest-only. And that sounds like a big number. Trust me, it's way higher than that. I mean, hard money lending can be 20, 25%. It can be big. Matter of fact, a business I know that is doing well but had a cash flow crunch about a year ago, it was a 65% interest.
Wow.
Now, that sounds outrageous, but that company is growing and had a meet or wouldn't be in business anymore, and there's no way the banks are going to lend money.
Right.
So I think 65 is really pushing it, but I'm just showing some extreme examples how even at that kind of outrageous number, it's a win-win. But if you have a sweetheart deal on land and you know you can develop, buy this property for, and I'm just throwing out all these magical numbers, but it's just to prove a point. But if you got a sweetheart land deal for $1 million and you know that you can buy it for $1 million, put $1 million into it and sell it for $5 million within 24 months, mm-hmm. Do you really care that you got a $3 million loan? For that piece and you're paying 20%, $600,000, mm-hmm. when you're going to make that much money,
right?
Who cares? It's win-win. Right.
Exactly.
Win-win.
Yep.
And so it's fun stuff that's out there. You know, there's all these different things but hard money lending, bridge loans, it can be a very powerful part of your, investment strategy. And you're in real estate. You don't even own it. You don't even own it.
Yep.
So
super smart.
Yeah, pretty neat. Yeah. So what am I doing is I'm in the real estate game without owning real estate. Hmm. Well, I don't have my house, but does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then in a couple of years down the road, if I see a correction, I think things come down where it makes sense to actually become a landlord and work with tenants and fix things and flush, you know, fix toilets and fix things. If I'm ready for that and there's a correction, then fine. I'll do that as a real estate game too. But these are all great strategies outside Wall Street.
Yeah. Right? Very cool. So, contrarian.
It's contrarian. It works. And cash flow, it's so much more important. I mean, Tammy, would you rather be a millionaire or would you rather live like a millionaire?
Live like a millionaire, please.
Yes. Cash flow is so much more fun than net worth. And not that IRAs and 401ks, which by the way, all can be in real estate. IRAs, all these qualified plans, there's ways to play the game, again, where it's outside Wall Street. But just some of the examples I talked about today, this is stuff that is very real. It works. You can be in real estate and not have to become a landlord yet or ever. It's not in your wheelhouse. And for my older clients who've been very successful in real estate, they want to simplify their life. And they understand the game, but they want to work with other other entities out there where they can get into hard money lending and bridge loans or syndicated commercial real estate where they can enjoy that cash flow, which they've enjoyed for a long time as being landlords. But they're selling properties and rolling it into those type of partnerships where they can be in first position liens. They can be in a limited partnership where they get to enjoy nice cash flow every month without being a landlord anymore.
Right.
Because they like to go do more things. Now they've kind of passed the baton to some other professionals out there that they're willing to do a lot of work each day and share in those profits. That's the whole topic for today. So hopefully that was exciting enough.
I think so.
Good.
Be able to own real estate without owning real estate in this particular economy. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, because here I'm going to use another great quote. Would you rather own the $2 million property? Would you rather own a $2 million home? Or would you rather have complete control over complete control over a $2 million home?
Yeah, complete control.
Sure. Way less headaches.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, if you kind of parallel that to Wall Street, and I always say, just do what the banks are doing. Wall Street controls over $21 trillion a day. That's a lot. That's a lot of money. And it's probably higher now. I got to relook at my numbers. $21 trillion a day.
It's amazing. Do they
own that money? Or is that our money out there or other people's money? OPM.
Yeah.
So just do what they're doing. They don't own it. They control it. So I think that's a good on real estate. I can dive more into that, but I kind of want to give more of a concept on that, how you can be in real estate as an investment without, you can be a landlord, but you don't have to be a landlord. There's all these things out there. Notes, bridge loans, hard money lending, syndicated commercial real estate. Be very careful who you get in the bed with. But there's all these things out there, and it's stuff I love introducing to my clients all day long. But remember, it all begins with living within your means and savings before you ever get into the investment game.
Excellent. I love it. And if people want some more help from you, maybe some more one-on-one education or some guidance through this process, I'm assuming that they can get in touch with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I love this stuff. I love it, love it, love it. And so my new and improved website's coming out. So
nice.
If you guys want to learn more, engineerofinance.com or Google Bankosaurus.
You're number one.
Yeah, number one. So Bankosaurus, Engineer of Finance podcast, go to engineerofinance.com or just call my office, 775-624-8839. I love helping people. I love providing all this education on things. And I like, we're only limited by our imagination. And I love learning every day and I love teaching. So yes, that's how people can reach out to me to learn more.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing as always.
All right. Well, I will let you do our awesome sign off, Tammy, unless there's any ideas for topics next week. You want me to talk a little bit more about real estate or some other investment ideas for people to think about?
I think both of those options are good, or we could do the contrarian one.
We could do the contrarian one. I also have added systems versus goals on my list because that is super important.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Super important. And so maybe we'll tie into that. But there's some other fascinating investments out there that a lot of people can do. You don't just have to be an accredited investor. You know, it's so interesting. A lot of these great investments strategies that I can just introduce clients to, most of them have to be accredited investors.
Mm.
And it's like, so you already have to be a millionaire to play the game. Well, there's other things out there that that people can do that you don't have to be accredited. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of neat. And,
absolutely.
So, all right. Well, good. I think that's it. So yeah, I love helping people on this stuff. So reach out to me via my website, engineerfinance.com. You can give my office a call. Any way I can help people, I really do enjoy this. It's a lot of fun. And Tammy, you're a blast. Thank you. And please do your awesome sign off. And then I look forward to our next podcast.
Absolutely. And I do too. And I'm sure that everybody listening also looks forward to our next podcast. And I'm certain that you guys know other people out there who would love to experience a different kind of financial advisor in Ken Green, the engineer of finance, because, you know, he's an engineer. So that creates a whole new level of value, but he also is funny. So that creates an extra value because who knows a funny financial advisor out there. Ken is the only one I know.
Thank you. I keep it fun, right?
Absolutely. All right. So share this podcast around, share the wealth, and we will see you next time right here on the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.